Good singing this morning, and I don't do the best I can preaching, but Brother Thomas Seale, y'all, I had a place this morning, so I'm going to try. They do this, I think, sort of throw me off, and I'm looking around trying to find where everybody is, but we'll see. We're going to make it through, right? We'll struggle through and make it through the best we can. But Brother Jason, come read the Bible for us, you would.
All right, turn to Joshua chapter 5. I told Brother Don he makes our row look better over there. Which isn't real hard, but you know, Joshua chapter 5. Man, I'm so glad to come to a place where in the song about closer to Jesus, where I believe the services, at least in my own heart, bring me closer to Christ. I'm so glad of a place I can come. And somebody mentioned to me the other week about where they come, it's peaceful, and I believe that as well. From my own heart and soul, it's a peaceful place, and so appreciate that, the music and everything else. Joshua chapter 5, read verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for just your many appearances in Scripture. And Lord, I long for those times, Lord, where, as I know Dad would say, where you feel like Christ is, you can feel his breath on the back of your neck, Lord, and sometimes in your prayer times, Lord God, when Christ shows up, and Lord God, I'm so thankful for those times. Other times, Lord, it's not the same, but God, Lord, we're in awe of Jesus Christ and of Christ and of God and of God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and Lord, if we really, really, really understood the holiness of God, Lord, and one day we will, if we're saved and we go to heaven, Lord, and on our face before Almighty God, who's done it all for us, and Lord, as we have the picture of the cross behind us, Lord, no longer on the cross, died and rose again, Lord God, I do pray, Lord, if there's someone that's not saved here today, Lord, today be their day of salvation, and Lord, just again, what it will do for their life and changing their life and having the Holy Spirit within them. And Lord God, won't take away, again, as I said last week, won't take away their problems, but Lord, we'll get somebody to walk with them as you go through those problems. And Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come humbly, Lord God, today to listen to your word and to listen to the word of God that's preached to us, God. And pray that we take something away, and God, you give us a great day in your house. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason, and appreciate the music this morning. Thank you for the choir, and Mrs. Antic with the special, and then Mrs. Hayes with off charges. Thank you for, it's always great music. We're in Joshua chapter 5, and we're not going to rush through anything this morning. I just want to say this. I do appreciate our bus ministry and their faithfulness, and so I'm going to not take too long this morning. So I want to get our buses home. I think they'll be fine. We'll make sure they get home safely. Appreciate the workers, and they take the time and put that into these children's lives. So as we're in here, we've got junior church, teen church, little church going on, and so thank you for all our bus workers. Joshua chapter 5, we read verses 13 through 15, and we've been going through the book of Joshua, and really have gotten to the point now. In fact, we just covered the last couple chapters where they finally have crossed the Jordan River. And I mean, as you think about the people of Israel and what they've gone through, especially, of course, this group, this is a group that grew up in the wilderness, right? This is a group that was young, if they were even born at the time when Israel was delivered from Egypt, many of them not even born. Those that were very young, and so they've grown up in the wilderness, and now finally they're out of that wilderness. They have crossed miraculously the Jordan River. We talked about the memorial they set up on last week. And then so as we get into, man, this week, they're across the river. They're ready to go for God. And I can imagine their own minds. Man, they're ready. God says, hey, the victory, it's yours. It's ahead of you. It's time. And they're all excited. And what happens here is we move into chapter 5, God says, hold on a second, right? Before we get into the battle, you better make sure you're prepared. You better make sure you're ready for the battle. He says, let me take care of a few things. Before we get into the battle, before you jump into those things that you're going to have to deal with here in the land of Canaan, he says, I want to do a few things amongst you as a group, some things I need to take care of before we get there. And so it just reminds us many times, and I think back in my own life, there's so many times that we want to jump ahead of God, right? We want to jump ahead. Very few times is it that we're waiting too long. That can happen. That sometimes when we need to do something, get up and do something. We'll talk a little bit about that today. And so we do need to take care of some things. But many times in our lives, we're ready to jump out. We're ready to jump out ahead and do something before God is ready. And so God says, hold on a second. We're going to go through a few things before we go and fight these battles. So go back to the beginning of chapter 5. I want you to see, again, what it was like in the land of Canaan. Look at verse number 1. It came to pass, and all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea herd, that the Lord had dried up. Hold on, let me make sure I can read this here. Let me get these in. All right. Which were by the sea herd, the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So we see the attitude of the kings there, the kings of the Amorites that were on that side of Jordan. The Bible says their hearts didn't melt. Now, Rahab had already mentioned this to the Israelites, but we see this is really true. And so as the people of Israel come over, the attitude of those in Canaan, they were scared of not only these people of Israel, but of course, the God that had delivered them. And so again, it seems like everything's ready for them to take over. But let's look at verse number 6. Go to verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. So God gives them here in these verses, he says, I need you to do something before we go into the land of Canaan to conquer that. He says, you need to roll away the reproach of Israel. And what had happened to the Israelites here, as you read those verses, there was a covenant God had made really back with Abraham for the people of Israel. And that covenant involved circumcision. They said, this is the covenant that you're supposed to keep with me. And that had not been kept. Interesting here, by the way, who are the ones that had not kept it? It wasn't the children's fault, right? It was the parents. It was these parents in this group that had come before, the ones that had not had faith. The reason they were wandering in the wilderness is because of that group. And so that group, because of their lack of faith in Christ, had not continued that covenant that God had set up with Abraham. And so God said this, these parents have disobeyed you. These children need to follow this covenant. And so that covenant was put in place. And God said there's a reason for that, so that the reproach of Egypt can be rolled away. You understand this morning? If you are saved, if you're saved, you're on the way to heaven, the reproach of sin has been rolled away. Hey, we don't have to be in bondage to sin anymore. Go to a couple of scriptures very quickly. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. If you're saved this morning, if you trust that Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to live in sin anymore. We're not bound by sin. This morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You're still, the Bible says, we're bound in sin without Jesus Christ. That sin keeps us in bondage. Look at Galatians chapter 4, look at starting in verse number 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. We're no longer in bondage. We're not bound by sin. God sent his son to die on the cross for us. Go to Romans chapter 8. You know, because of that, Romans chapter 8, if we're saved this morning, we don't have to sin. If you're not saved this morning, the only thing you have is a sin nature. The Bible tells us we're born with a sin nature. That in Adam, all sin. And so this morning, if you were born once, which we all have been born once, you're born once. When you were born, you're born with a sin nature. And that sin nature, because of that, we sin. Now, that's not an excuse. It doesn't say, well, we're just going to sin anyway. No. But that sin nature, we're not perfect. All right? We're born imperfect. And so we sin because we have a sin nature. And so this morning, if you're not saved, that's all you have is a sin nature. But the Bible says once we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, and we now have not only a sin nature, but we have the perfect Holy Spirit in us. So what is our life? Our life as a Christian is a battle between those two things, right? The flesh and the spirit, they battle against each other all the time. But, you know, because we're saved with the Holy Spirit in us, we no longer are a servant in bondage to sin. We don't have to sin. Look at Romans chapter 8, and I want to read the whole thing. We won't read all of it, but I'll read several verses. Let's start in verse number 1 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Because of that, I have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me, I'm free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Man, that's all they care about. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. It's against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is not the message. But what you think about this morning, if you're not saved, you cannot please God. You're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's the way Christ, the Holy Spirit, is an earnest. We're kept by the Holy Spirit. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after flesh. If you live after flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know what? You have the Spirit of God in you this morning. You don't have to sin. Now, that doesn't mean we'll be perfect. Doesn't mean we're perfect. We still have that sin nature. You know what's going to happen? We get to heaven, we no longer have that sin nature, right? And the sin nature's gone. We just have the Holy Spirit. We have a new body. We have a glorified body. We don't have this old flesh anymore. But this morning, if you're saved, you don't have to sin anymore. That reproach has been rolled away. And by the way, the penalty of sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That penalty of death in hell forever and ever, that's been rolled away, man. We don't have to worry about that anymore. If you've saved and trusted Jesus Christ to take care of those sins, you don't have to go to hell. You can spend eternity in heaven. That reproach of Egypt has been rolled away. And that's what God wanted to symbolize to them. He said, listen, you don't have to live in bondage anymore. And this covenant is a token of that reproach that is gone. So that's the first thing, back to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and we read that. And let's go to verse number 10. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. And the second thing they did, first thing is they rolled away any reproach. They want to stay in bondage to the things of Israel. Second thing they did, verse 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. The second thing God said, I want you to do is I want you to keep the Passover.
He wanted them to, what was the Passover for? The Passover was for them to remember how God had delivered them out of Egypt. You know, when we go to fight a battle, when we have a spiritual battle we're going to face, and by the way, we don't know when that's going to be. It doesn't mean every day we wake up, we know what lies ahead. We don't. We do know this, if we're saved, there's going to be spiritual battles that we fight. I just talked about one, which is your flesh and your spirit sort of battling against each other. That's a daily battle for all of us, right? As we wake up every day, your flesh wants to do one thing. Your flesh wants to stay in bed, right, a lot of times. And your spirit says, oh, we got to get something done. Your flesh and spirit are going to battle all the time. But there's going to be outside forces, too, that you have to battle, man. Something comes up, circumstances, something comes up in your life. Sometimes those are self-inflicted. Sometimes those are trials that God gives us to help us to grow. But either way, there's a battle you're going to face. When we know we're going to face that battle, God says, before you go to battle, I want you to remember what God did for you in the past. And you know what's a good thing for us to do? If we want to accomplish something for God in the future, it's good to remember what God did for us at salvation, right? And the people here of Israel, hey, I want you to go back. The Passover helped them remember when God delivered them out of Egypt, a sign of salvation. And so if we're going to do something for God, it's good for us when we go to step out into battle to remember and reflect on what God has done for us in the past, how He saved us, what He's done in our life. He says, I want you to do that before you step forward. I want you to remember what God has done. And then look at verse number 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You know, for the last 40 years.
In fact, basically, for most of these people that were here in the land of Canaan that were Israelites, all they remembered was eating manna. That's all they remembered. And so for 40 years, God had provided that manna for them. And God did that miraculously. I mean, you think about that. Every morning for 40 years, they would go out and they would collect that 6 days a week and have that there that they could eat. And God just provided that for them day after day after day after day. And we have a God that can do that. He can do the same thing for us. And God did that for them. But, you know, there comes a time God said, listen, it's time to start eating of the fruit of the land. Hey, it's time to go ahead. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we want to rely on God to do miracles all the time. And God is powerful enough to take care and do miracles. But, you know, there's also times we have responsibility as well. And sometimes we need to move past the manna and even the milk and get to the meat. And that lamb was around them. They could look at that. I remember Dad would talk about this. I remember when I was at college, pastor there would talk about this. They'd say, man, these people that they'd pray, and you know, they were needed help financially, they would pray. They say, all these people, they talk about how God gave them this money and that money. He said, with me, God gave me a job application, right? So, hey, here's a job, go get you a job. You know, not just give you money. You know, there's times when God will provide and God miraculously will do something. There's also a lot of times where we just need to look around and do what we can do, right? Do what we can do and not say, God, you take care of everything. Now, God wants to
and take care of His children. Many times that's going to be through the work that we do. And so now God said, listen, it's time. I'm not going to provide it every morning. No, you can go out and gather the food for yourself. You've got food around you. When they were in the wilderness, they didn't have it. There wasn't things they could go out and get. But now that they're in the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, He says, "You can, hey, if we're saved this morning, we have the Word of God we can go to and learn from, right? And to feed from. And so I think about these young people here. There has to come a time in their life where they move from, hey, mommy and daddy are telling me this, to say, hey, I'm going to get in the Word of God myself. Hey, I'm glad I've got Sunday school teachers when I was a little kid that taught me the stories of the Bible, but I'm going to get in the Word of God myself. I'm going to learn what God has to say for me and start to use that myself instead of relying on somebody else to do it for me. And God says, before we go into battle, I want you to understand it's time for you to eat of the fruit of the land, to refresh yourself daily with the fruit of the land. Then we'll spend the rest of our time on this. We read verses 13 through 15. So before they go into battle, God said, I'm going to roll away. I want you to roll away any reproach that's there. I want you to remember the power of God through the Passover. I want you to refresh yourself every day through the fruit of the land. In verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I was reading this week and thinking about this. It says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. I can just sort of picture Joshua as they crossed the Jordan River and now they're in the land of Canaan. The very first city they're going to come to is Jericho, and it's fortified with those walls. And
Can you imagine sort of Jericho, for Joshua there, he's out by himself and just sort of looking over Jericho. And you know he had to be thinking, how in the world are we going to win this victory? I mean, he sees those walls, and it's not like, I mean, you're talking about the Israelites. Before these 40 years they've been wandering in the wilderness, they were slaves in Egypt. It's not like he has a highly trained military force. I mean, he's got a lot of people with him. But these people have been wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, for the last four decades. They haven't fought a battle. You know what? Joshua had done a little bit of that when he was younger, but they haven't done that. And imagine him just sort of looking at the city, maybe even walking around, trying to figure out, how in the world is this going to work? Hey, God said to trust him, but how is this going to work? And he sees somebody standing there, and they're standing there with the Bible says, with their sword drawn. And as best we can tell, there's no indication any different. Joshua's by himself and sees this person. They've got their sword drawn. I mean, they're ready for some kind of fight. And Joshua, again, it shows, I don't know what you would do. All right, we're a little different in our modern times. We don't go around drawing swords a whole lot. All right. But I don't know if I saw somebody. I was out somewhere by myself with a sword drawn. I'm probably heading in the other direction, all right? Probably pretty fast, really. But you see that? But Joshua, he didn't do that. He challenged the person that was there, right? And we don't know how Joshua was armed or whatever, but he wanted to see who they were, and he asked a question, and says, are thou for us or for adversaries? And he does it. Now, he will in a minute. But he doesn't recognize who it is. It's the captain, right? It's the captain. He's going to find out in a minute. But he doesn't recognize. Maybe it's dark. Maybe it's whatever. And I don't know how he would know in the first place. He's just figuring out what he's trying to do. But he asks who it is. And look at the answer we have in verse number 14. And he said, nay. First thing he says is no. Well, Joshua asked him a question. There wasn't a yes or no question, right? It says, are you for us or for adversaries? Said, no. But no, I'm not for either one. You know, if we're not careful sometimes, we'll get so wrapped up in what we're doing and we think we're doing what God wants. Understand something. God's not looking to choose sides. God has already chosen what he's going to do. He's already chosen. He's not looking to. I thought of this. We were in tournament this weekend, and Mrs. Hayes is here. We played Great Hope on Friday night, and Pastor Godfrey was there, and all their people there, just great people there. And you know, so we got their church and their school and their people, and Mrs. Hayes too is praying for them to win. Right? She should be. And then we're praying for our team. So who's God? Whose side is God on? Well, God's not cheering for one or cheering for the other, or you know, one side's going to pray better than the other one. And I don't think God really cares who wins or loses. I think God does care how his people behave and how his people act and how they respond to it. I think that is true no matter what we're doing. But God's not choosing a side. Somebody asked one of the advisors, President Lincoln, and y'all have heard the story before, asked him, or was talking to him, and said, man, I'm glad God is on the side of the Union. And Abraham Lincoln responded and said, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. Is God for us or for adversaries? And then we know God is against wickedness. God's against sin. We understand all that. But sometimes we get a little too wrapped up in man. Is God on our side? No, we need to be on God's side. And so this captain answers him and says, no. But he also says this, like verse 14, he says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. He didn't say, I'm captain of the Israelites. Now, the Israelites were God's chosen people. But you know, something greater than the force of the Israelites was the captain of the host of the Lord. He says, I've got power beyond, Joshua, what you have. I'm captain of the host of the Lord. And so Joshua at first didn't recognize. He begins to recognize who this is. And not only does he recognize the captain, he shows reverence to the captain. Look at verse number 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship
You know, we wonder, I'm sure you've wondered, hey, what's heaven going to be like?
I tell you this, so many times through the Bible we see this, I'm going to go to heaven and do this. I tell you what, when we step into heaven, we're going to be on our face before Jesus. That's what's going to happen. I want to ask this, and we're not going to be worried about what we're going to ask. No, we're going to fall on our face. Because that's our Lord and our Savior. That's our God. And we're not, it's not going to be, boy, I'm going to do it. And now it doesn't mean we won't get up and do something at some point, but that'll be a long time. We just fall on our face. Joshua saw the captain of those. And this is, as best we know, an appearance in the Old Testament, I think, of Jesus Christ himself. And so he sees him. We know this. It wasn't just an angel because the Bible says he worshiped. Throughout the Bible, you'll see this. Whenever an angel, somebody tries to worship an angel, we see it in Revelation with the Apostle John. And the angel says, hey, you get up. Man, get up. Don't worship me. They tried to worship Peter and John, tried to worship Paul and Barnabas. And they say, hey, get up. Man, don't do that to us. Don't do that. We don't deserve worship. The only one that deserves worship is God himself. And so Joshua falls on his face. And he worships. And so Joshua reverenced the captain. And then he also respected the authority of his word. Notice what he says. It reminds me a lot of Acts chapter 9. But look at verse 14. It says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know, Joshua didn't try to tell God anything. He said, I just want to know what you want me to do. Remember in Acts chapter 9 when Paul's there on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears, and what does Paul say? What would you have me to do? You know, if we really see Jesus as he is and understand how powerful he is, there should be a desire in our heart to say, Lord, whatever, listen to the word of God, whatever you tell me, I'm willing to do it. He says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Verse number 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. He said, let me tell you something, Joshua. We're standing on holy ground. Hey, where you're standing is holy. And you know, it is important that we worship. It is important that we reverence God. It's also important we understand this. A lot of times we'll think, and it is. And we come to the house of God, and this should be a holy place for us. This should be something where we worship God together. But I think also the Lord's telling Joshua, hey, this is, you're about to go into battle. This is where you're going to stand in this battle. And in the battle, there's holy ground there as well. Hey, you go out this week. You go out to the job. You go out to, and there's holy ground there as well where you'll take a stand for what's right. And you'll do it. And yes, in the house of God, we understand that.
But there should be a holiness wherever we go. As we understand, our captain's there. And I love how it ends here in verse 15, no questions from Joshua. What does it say? And Joshua did so. Joshua did exactly what God said. It brings to mind me the old song, and I won't sing it for you, but it says, I was standing on the banks of the river looking out over life's troubled sea when I saw the old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship kept sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stood the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus,
the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Hey, do you recognize the captain? Do you reverence the captain? Do you respect the authority of his word? Joshua did so. Why? Because his captain told him to. Father, thank you for
the captain that you've given us, the captain of the host of the Lord. And Lord, I pray this morning, well, that wouldn't be something we just talk about or we just say. It'd be something that would be true. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who's not saved or they trust you today, I pray, Lord, we'd recognize the captain. Lord, I pray that we'd reverence so much that we don't, and I know in my own life, Lord, don't want to be guilty of a lack of reverence what we see is as Joshua really saw Jesus, he didn't question anything. He just fell on his face. He worshiped, he listened, and he did what he was told. I pray we do the same thing this week and spiritually in our lives. Lord, help us, as we talked about, to roll away that reproach. To remember what you did for us at salvation. Lord, to feed off the land that you've given us. But then, Lord, help us to follow the captain. Lord, you can give us some things, and we will study later on. It doesn't always make sense, but helps us to do what you told us to. In the world around us where everything's going crazy, Lord, help us to follow the orders of our captain and follow the Word of God day by day in Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around this morning, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know you're on the way to heaven? This morning wasn't necessarily a salvation message. Man, it's the most important decision you will make, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm on the way to heaven, not because of my good works, not because I'm in church, but because Jesus Christ saved me. If you could say that this morning, you just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. You can put it right back down. If you're this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. If I was to die today, I can't say for sure I'd wake up in heaven. Just not positive, 100%. Let me tell you this, the Bible says we can know that you may know that you have eternal life. As I mentioned before, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, pray for me this morning. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Anybody like that at all? Just, I won't embarrass you at all. I promise you that. But just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm on the way to heaven. You do that for me this morning. Say, pray for me. Let me ask you this morning, how are we doing? Hey, are we ready to go to battle? I hope so. But are we prepared? We rolled away that reproach. Remember the power of God. We recognize the captain. As the music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you. You come forward. So thankful you came this morning, and man, have a great day today. We'll be back 6 o'clock tonight. Be back in for the service, and we're talking about Abraham doing that last few weeks, and man, so many choices that he made were based on God's word and living by the word of God. We are our theme for this year, so we'll talk about that tonight. Wednesday night, 6:30, Master's Club, 7 o'clock service. We've been going through a series on Proverbs, on wisdom, and it's just great. We'll help you out. Be here for that as well. Be safe out there today. I don't see any snow yet. All right, I'm not saying it won't happen. We don't know. All right, but be safe. Either way, try to be back here tonight. Father, again, thank you for all you do for us. Bless us as we go out from here. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us. And protect us, Lord, and help us to live a life based on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.